Hi, everyone. It's time for another two adventures from the Tales of the Texas Rangers here at 1001 Stories of the Old West.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Last Stop.
It is Thursday night in July 1931. A local passenger train speeds through the rocky country of West Texas. While the engineer watches the track ahead, the perspiring fireman shovels coal into the flaming firebox.
Steam gauge is still down, Whit.
Oh, bring it up, Charlie.
Can't afford to lose no more time.
We'll make it all right. Hey, keep watching that gauge for me, will you?
Yeah.
There. That's about all she'll take.
I just hope it's enough.
How are we doing now?
Picked up 12 minutes. Still way behind schedule.
Oh, well, we'll make it up, Charlie.
30 minutes? On a short run like this?
Yeah, it's a darn shame we had to have a hot box. That car whacker done his job, we wouldn't have lost all this time.
And cussing him won't help us none.
Well, anyhow, the super can't blame us.
No?
Hey, say, did you see Mr. Evans?
Uh-huh.
Well, what did he say?
I have to leave in December. When you get to be 65, you got to retire.
Well, you deserve a rest after all these years.
Quit. What am I going to do with myself? I'll just be around the house all the time, getting in Emmy's way.
Why, you'll be able to go out to the park and play checkers, sleep till noon. Ain't that what you always wanted?
I used to think so.
Hey, how much time do you think we'll make up?
Oh, another 10 minutes, maybe. We can pick up a couple of minutes on this downgrade.
Well, let's see. Yeah, that'll still make us 33 minutes behind.
Yeah. How's the gauge?
248, right on the nose. Hey, you know, Charlie, this retirement ain't so bad. Why, you and the missus could go back east. Visit your kinfolks, maybe. Wouldn't cost you.
Hey, there's something on the track.
What is it?
Well, sir, we're going to hit.
Sheriff Wagner of Ravenna was notified of the wreck. He alerted the railroad and local doctors. While a relief train was dispatched to the scene, the sheriff requested the assistance of the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned. He arrived as the last of the injured were being removed from the splintered coaches.
Sheriff! Sheriff Wagner!
Jace?
Yeah?
Over here with this flare.
Okay.
Hey, Tom! When you get through down there, give him a hand in the relief car.
Okay, Sheriff.
Oh, Sharky, oh boy.
Yeah. Looks pretty bad, Sheriff.
Yeah, sure is, Jace. That's a fireman they're taking now.
Easy there. Excuse me, Ranger. Take it easy.
Sure banged up. Doc says he might have to amputate his leg.
Anybody killed?
Engineer Charlie Hansen got pinned under the cab. Most of the passengers are all right, though.
How'd it happen?
I don't know. That's why I called you. Could have been an accident. But I just ain't sure.
You looked at the track yet, where the train jumped off?
I haven't had time until now. I was helping the dog give first aid.
Well, why don't we take a look up there?
Sure. You got a flashlight?
Right here.
How come you got here on horseback, Jase?
Oh, I left my car on the other side of the canyon. Figured it'd be faster cutting cross country.
Yeah, you'll probably save 35, 40 minutes that way.
Uh-huh. Oh, watch out, Sheriff. Rail's sticking up there.
Yeah. Boy, what a mess. Track's torn up all the way around a bit.
Yeah, makes it hard to find out what happened.
Yeah, sure does. Maybe it was a loose track.
Yeah, or an axle on the train might have broken.
Yeah, I wish I knew. Fireman's not in any condition to talk, and none of the others have any idea.
Hey, hold on, Sheriff.
What is it, Jason?
Take a look here.
This railroad tie? What about it?
This tie could have caused the wreck. You see these marks? Here and here?
Well, all gouged out. Kind of like it's been burned.
Could have been done by the friction of the front wheels of the engine. Marks are the right distance apart.
Yeah. Then this must have been on the tracks, Chase.
Somebody had to put it there.
You think somebody wrecked a train on purpose?
Well, it looks that way, Sheriff. How many trains come through here a day?
Only two, one going west and one east.
What time does the train going east come through?
About supper time.
And that time must have been laid across the tracks no more than 3 or 4 hours before the wreck.
Yeah, that's right.
You keeping a deputy on guard here tonight?
Keeping two of them out here.
Good. Maybe one of them can take this tie into town.
Sure thing, Jase.
What time did this wreck take place?
Well, I don't know yet. Haven't had time to really question anybody.
Sheriff, that you?
Yeah.
We got them all into the relief train. Anything else I can do?
I don't think so, Mr. Morton. You've sure been a big help. This is Ranger Pearson.
Howdy, Ranger.
Howdy.
Mr. Morton's the one phoned me about the wreck, Jase.
Did you see it happen, Mr. Morton?
My boys did.
Did they see anyone around the tracks beforehand?
Didn't mention it. They couldn't have anyhow. Too far away.
Where were they?
Up there on the hill, looking for some stock. I guess you can't see it in the dark. My place is just the other side of it.
What time did it happen?
Gosh, I don't know, Ranger. I was pretty excited. Guess I didn't notice.
You called me at 9:05, Mr. Morton.
Then it must have happened just about 9. Only took the boys a couple of minutes to ride down at the house.
Your boys here now?
No. I made them stay at home. Sure glad I did. Never saw anything so terrible in my life. All those folks suffering.
Relief train's ready to leave, Jase.
Yeah. Who's that shouting?
Huh? Oh, that's Carl. He's standing there over on that rise, yelling at the train. Does it all the time. He's kind of pitiful, fella.
Is he that young fella lives in the shack by the wharf?
Yeah, he's the one. Sister took care of him until she died a couple of years ago. Now he just tends his goats and a few chickens. Never bothered anybody that I know of.
Why is he yelling at the train?
Oh, he hates trains. Ain't had no use for him since one of them killed his cow a while back.
Maybe we better talk to him, Sheriff. We'll see you later, Mr. Morton.
Sure thing, Ranger.
Hey, you think Carl might have done it to get even with the railroad?
That's possible. He's got a grudge against them, and he's not quite right.
He sees us. Carl,
we want to talk to you.
Hey, he's running.
Come on, Sheriff. We got to catch him.
Yeah.
Carl was clever as a bobcat. He knew the country and slipped away from us in the dark. We spent over an hour searching for him through the rocks and arroyos without success. Finally, the sheriff and I went over to his shack and concealed ourselves in the dense brush about 50 yards away. We stayed there the rest of the night. The longer we waited, the more convinced we were that Carl had something to do with wrecking the train. 9 o'clock the next morning, he still hadn't shown up.
I declare, Jase, I'm so stiff and sore I can hardly move.
I know how you feel, Sheriff.
Hell, that's sure a run-down-looking shack he's got. Don't see what keeps it up.
No. Sheriff, maybe we're wasting our time here.
Think maybe he's not coming back?
Can't tell with a man like that. Might have scared him off for good.
Yeah. Especially if he did wreck that train.
Why don't we get somebody to keep an eye on this place? Then we can start looking for Carl again out in the brush.
That's a good idea.
Wait a minute, Sheriff. Get down.
What is it, Jase?
Over there. Other side of the clearing.
Yeah. There he is. Just coming in now.
He's making sure the coast is clear.
Guess he figures it's safe. He's going in. Let's get him.
No, not yet. Let him get inside first. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. Reckon he sees us coming?
Now, that window's so dirty, I don't think he can see anything. Why don't you go around back, Sheriff? There might be another door.
Okay. Give me time to get around there.
Yeah.
Other door, Jase.
Okay. Open up, Carl. We know you're in there.
Go away.
We want to ask you some questions, Carl.
I won't let you in.
He's not going to open it, Jase.
Door's locked. Open the door, Carl, or we'll break it down.
I won't let you in. I won't do it.
I guess we'll have to, Sheriff.
Yeah, it shouldn't be hard. It's pretty flimsy. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Now. Grab his arm, Sheriff.
Hang on him.
No, you can't. No. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry about the train. I'm sorry.
should have thought of that last night. Come on. On the way into the sheriff's office, Carl sobbed and trembled hysterically. We could get no information from him. Sheriff Wagner and I saw it was necessary to let him calm down before continuing the questioning. We got Carl a hot meal and let him rest. We put the railroad tie in the sheriff's office. A few hours later, we sent for Carl.
Come in here, young fella.
Sit down, Carl.
You still mad at me?
No, we're not mad at you, Carl. We want to know about that train.
Dirty trains. One of them killed Mary.
Who's Mary?
Mary's his cow, Jace, the one that got hit.
Is that why you were yelling at the train?
Yeah. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Tell us, Carl. Is that why you ran away? You thought we chased you because you yelled at the train?
Well, didn't you?
No, that wasn't the reason. You know what happened to the other train?
Yeah. Got busted up.
Did you do that, Carl?
No. No, I just yell at the train.
What were you doing yesterday?
Well, I was home for a spell taking care of my goats.
How about yesterday evening? What were you doing then?
I was over at the Radfords.
Who do you mean, George Radford?
Huh?
What were you doing over there?
We was killing hogs.
What time did you leave the Radfords, Carl?
Oh, not for a long time. They give me supper. Mrs. Radford's a nice lady.
Sheriff, you better call him. Find out if Carl was over there yesterday and what time he left.
Okay, Jase.
Carl, did you go down by the tracks before the train was wrecked last night?
No.
George?
I don't like trains.
This is Sheriff.
You see that railroad tie in the corner?
Yeah.
That was the tie that wrecked the train. Did you put it on the tracks?
No.
Well, thanks,
George. No, I didn't do it.
Bye. Jase, that train was wrecked about 9, wasn't it?
That's what Mr. Morden said.
And Carl here didn't do it.
How do you know?
He didn't leave the Radfords till 10.
After we took Carl home, we checked at the hospital. The doctor told us the fireman of the wrecked train, Whit Bernard, was in fair condition and that amputation was not necessary. The doctor gave us permission to talk to him and walked down to Bernard's room. Mr. Bernard?
Yeah?
I'm Ranger Pearson. This is the sheriff.
Yeah?
We'd like to find out what happened, Mr. Bernard.
Told me Charlie's dead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bernard, do you remember what happened just before the wreck?
Well, I just sat down. Charlie yelled there was something on the tracks and we was going to hit it and grab the brake. That's all I remember.
You didn't see anyone then? Standing by the track, maybe?
No.
How fast was your train going?
Oh, about 60. Never should have been speeding like that down those grades. Charlie, maybe be alive now if we'd been going slower. Might have been able to stop.
You were going faster than usual?
Yeah. We were behind schedule. Supposed to be in Blankford just about the time we jumped the tracks.
About 9, huh?
Oh, no. 8:30.
We understood the wreck didn't happen till 9.
Oh, no. It was closer to 8:30.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Looked at my watch just as we topped the rise.
Sheriff. Did that rancher, Mr. Morden, call you a little after 9?
That's right, Jase. It was 9:05.
And he claimed his boys saw it happen just a couple of minutes before that.
He sure did. Why'd he tell us that? Reckon he's lying?
I don't know. Let's go over there and find out. The sheriff and I went to the Morden ranch. We arrived there about sundown. Mr. Morden was just coming out on the porch as we drove up.
Howdy, Ranger. Sheriff.
Howdy.
Hello, Morden. I was just about to call my boy into supper. How about eating with us?
No, thanks.
I'm making a pot of mulligan. Is it plenty?
No, thanks. We'd like some straight answers to a few questions.
Well, sure thing.
We're pretty sure now what caused the wreck.
Is that so? What was it?
Somebody put a tie across the tracks.
You mean on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's awful. That's the same as murder.
It sure is.
You called the sheriff at 9:05 last night. Is that right?
I guess so. The sheriff remembered the time.
And how long before that did your boys tell you about the wreck?
Oh, less than a minute. I phoned right away.
Where were the boys standing when they saw it happen?
Up on that hill behind the house. Come on back. I'll show you.
Did they hear the crash?
Yeah.
How come you didn't hear?
Well, I was in the house, and the hill's in the way, I guess. There it is.
Couldn't have taken them more than a couple of minutes to reach the house from there.
No. Mind if we ask your boys about this?
No, of course not. Come on. Young Dan's over in the barn, milking. What's the matter, Sheriff? Something wrong?
I'll tell you, Mr. Morton. According to what you say, the wreck must have taken place about 9 o'clock. It actually happened at 8:30.
It couldn't have.
We want to know why you're a half hour off, Mr. Morton.
Well, I don't know. I can't understand it. Say, you don't think I had anything to do with the wreck?
We don't know yet, but somebody did.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it wasn't me.
Maybe your boys will be able to tell us something. Come on.
I just don't get it. You sure it wasn't an accident?
We're sure.
Dan!
Yeah, Pa.
Dan, didn't you tell me...
Hold on, Mr. Morton. We'd like to ask the questions.
All right, Ranger. Dan, this is Sheriff Wagner and Ranger Pearson. They want to talk to you.
Howdy.
Dan, exactly where were you when you saw the train wreck last night?
Well, we were up on the hill looking for some stock that wandered off. Ain't that right, Pa?
Yeah, son.
Did you come down and tell your father right away?
Yeah, as soon as we saw it.
Are you sure you didn't stay a while to watch?
Oh, no, sir. We rode right down.
Well, just... what did you see?
Well, we heard a big, awful noise. We looked down that way. We just saw the end of the crash, kind of, just as the cars were falling over.
You saw them turn over?
Yes. Yes, sir, we did.
Son, are you sure you saw it?
Yeah, Pa.
If you don't mind, Mr. Morton, let us ask the boy. Dan?
Yes, sir?
Tell me the truth now. Did you go down to the wreck before you came home to tell your father?
No, we didn't. Honest.
Did you ever handle a railroad tie, Dan?
Tie?
You ever want to put one on a track to see what would happen when a train hit it?
No. No, I never did.
How long you figure it took you to come down the hill?
Just a couple minutes. We came right away, honest.
You couldn't have, Dan. The train was wrecked a half hour earlier than you say.
Well...
Dan, did you put the tie on the tracks? How about it? Was it you?
I didn't want it. Lloyd made me help him. Oh, Pa.
There, there, son. Ranger, I feel sick. My own boy, he did this awful thing.
Why'd you do it, son?
Lloyd, he said he'd show me how to bust up a big log without any work. Oh, Dad, I didn't want to, but when he called me a sissy.
Go on.
Well, I helped him drag one of them ties out of the track.
You waited there and watched the train hit it.
Yes, sir. But when the train went down the bank and all them cars piled up, well, we got scared and rode away. Floyd made me promise not to tell.
Where is Floyd?
On his way to Houston, I guess.
You mean you don't know where your son is?
He's not my son. He's my boss's son. You see, I'm a tenant farmer here. Mr. Osborne owns the place. He lives in Houston.
What's the boy been doing out here?
Well, he kept getting in trouble at home. Father sent him to military school. When that didn't do any good, he asked me to take him for the summer. Thought it might straighten Floyd out, being here. And I thought it was starting to do some good.
When did he leave?
This afternoon. I thought it was kind of funny why he wanted to leave all of a sudden. Tried to talk him out of it, but he said no, he wanted to go home. So I called his father long distance. His dad said put him on the bus.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which bus was it?
The one at 4 o'clock. I got him into town by two, but we just missed that bus.
Did you see him get on the 4 o'clock bus?
Yeah, sure. I waited with him. Didn't want him to take it because he'd have to stay in Bismarck tonight and catch the morning bus for Houston, but no, he was set on going today.
Do you have a picture of Floyd you can give us?
Well, I got a snapshot of the two kids together.
That'll do. We'll see if we can catch up to him in Bismarck. I'm afraid your boy is going to have to come into town with us, Mr.
Oh, Bob.
Look, Ranger, it wasn't Dan's fault.
I'm sorry.
He's got no mother to raise him, and I guess I just didn't do a good enough job.
We have no choice, Mr. Morley.
He wouldn't have done it if it hadn't been for Floyd. Floyd's 17. He's 2 years older, and he was always talking Dan into things. Oh, that Floyd's a great talker. Every time I call him down about something, he'd talk himself out of it.
Don't worry, Mr. Morton. He won't talk himself out of this. We took Dan Morton and his father to the sheriff's office in Ravenna. Then Sheriff Wagner and I drove to Bismarck. The baggage clerk at the Trailways bus station there identified Floyd Osborne from his photograph as having checked a suitcase at 7 o'clock. There was no bus leaving for Houston till 9:15 the following morning. During the night, we canvassed a number of hotels, but were unable to locate the boy. The next morning, we were back in the bus station, standing next to the Houston bus. Floyd Osborne still hadn't shown up.
If that kid don't hurry, he's going to miss this bus.
Yeah, he's still got time. They've got 10 minutes before they pull out.
What if he doesn't show up?
Yeah, then we'll get him at home.
What do you think he's doing? Waiting until the last minute?
Yeah, looks like it.
Let me see that snapshot of the two kids, Jace. I just want to be sure I'll know them.
Yeah, here you. Never mind, Sheriff. Here he comes.
Sure in a hurry. Must have overslept.
Let's take him.
Hey, let go. What do you think you're doing?
Cut it out, son. Hold still. Your name, Floyd Osborne?
Yeah, so what?
This is Ranger Pearson. I'm the sheriff of this county.
What about it?
You were staying with Mr. Morton, weren't you?
Was that a crime?
No, but reckon a train is.
What? Well, now, you don't think I wrecked that train? Who's been telling you stories?
It's no use, Floyd. We know you did it.
Why, this is crazy. I'm the one who reported the wreck. Well, why, me and Dan was 2 miles away from there when we saw it.
You and Dan laid a tie across the tracks. You were right there when it happened.
That's a dirty lie.
We don't think it is.
Well, it is. Look, if you want the truth, I'll tell you. Dan did it. I told him not to. It was Dan who did it.
That's no good, Floyd. Dan's not big enough to have carried that heavy tie all by himself.
Well, his father helped him. Yeah, old man Morton, him and Dan did it.
I don't think the court's going to believe that either, Floyd.
Well, you're not taking me to any court.
Friend, Jace.
Stop that kid. Watch it.
Floyd, stop.
He's going to get hit with that car. Gosh, that was close.
There he goes, running toward the drugstore.
Stop, Floyd. Come here.
Let go of me. You hurt my arm.
You're not hurt. But you're not running away again.
I didn't mean to wreck that train. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Well, now you know. And you'll never forget it as long as you live. Come on.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Floyd Osborne and Dan Morton were brought to trial on January 8, 1932. Because of the nature of the crime and his extreme youth, Dan Morton was released in the custody of his father. Floyd Osborne was sent to the state school for boys at Gatesville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. The cast included Tony Barrett, Leo Curley, Bert Holland, Ken Christie, Whitfield Connor, and Jeffrey Silver. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Robert A. White, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keats. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard weekly overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Hal Gibney speaking.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Cover Up.
It is 8 o'clock on the morning of Thursday, July 4th, 1946. 17 miles north of Lenape, Texas, farmer Lee Gaynor crosses the cornfields to the farm of Russell Hines, his neighbor and closest friend. When he reaches his friend's house, Gaynor goes up on the front porch, opens the door, and walks in.
Russ, where are you? Russ, you back there in the bedroom?
Who are you?
What are you doing here?
You get out of here, please. You can't come in.
What do you mean I can't come in? Who are you? What are you doing with that pail of water?
I just clean up the floor. Now you go. You can't stay.
That's so fast. Where's Mr. Hines?
He's gone. He said don't let nobody in the house, so please, you go out, huh?
I'm not going anywhere. Not till I get this straight. Now, where'd he go?
I don't know, senor. He said that he go on vacation. That's all he said.
Well, his car's outside. He couldn't go nowhere without his car.
Well, he did. He go for 2 weeks.
I don't believe it. Mr. Hines is my best friend. He wouldn't go off like that without telling me.
Well, he did.
You're lying. Who are you? What you doing here?
I work here.
No, you don't. I never saw you before.
Senor Hines, he hired me this morning before he leaves.
You left, huh? How come his watch and glasses and all the rest of his stuff is still on the dresser? Hey, where's his wallet?
I don't know. I didn't
check it. I think you did. Now, let's see what you got. Wait a minute. What's that on the floor?
Where?
Right where I'm pointing. This looks like blood.
Oh, see. See, that is Senor Hines.
And on the bed, too. What did you do to him?
Nothing.
Where is he? You tell me I beat it out of him.
Please, senor. He have a nose bleed. He tell me to clean up the blood. That's all, I swear.
You're lying. You tell me what you did with Mr. Hines. You tell me quicker, I kill you.
I did nothing. Let me go, senor.
I said tell me.
I did nothing.
I kill you.
You asked for this, senor. You not get me.
I
did not.
Come back here, you. I get you, you lousy killer.
Lee Gaynor chased the stranger across the fields and into a wooded area. When the man ducked into the woods, Gaynor lost sight of him and was unable to pick up his trail. He then returned to his friend's house and called Sheriff Art Buckley, who in turn requested aid from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned and arrived at the farmhouse shortly after the sheriff.
There's a blood on the floor, Ranger. He's trying to clean it up with that bucket of water. And there on the bed, blood splattered all over the pillow.
You say this fellow told you Mr. Hines had a nosebleed?
Yeah, but I don't believe that. Russ never had a nosebleed in his life, and I've known him since we was kids. I tell you, that Mexican killed him.
You know if anything's missing?
Yeah, Russ's wallet. Take a look at this dresser. Everything else is here except that. Here's his comb, his glasses. Now, I know Russ better than I know my own brother, and I tell you, he wouldn't go anywhere without his specs.
It makes it look bad, all right.
Yeah.
You know how much money your friend was carrying in that wallet?
Just about. Russ drew $300 out of the bank on Tuesday morning. He's fixing to buy a Guernsey from Dave Morgan.
Is that your friend's car parked out in front?
Yeah, he sure wouldn't be going anyplace without that.
Why are we trying to pick up that Mexican's trail? He might still be out in the woods.
And he was heading into the hills when I lost him, Ranger. Might be afraid to come out.
Yeah. Did you look around to see if you could find Mr. Hines in the barn, any place like that?
No, I didn't. Stayed in the house waiting for you to come.
Now, just where did you chase that fellow?
Into the woods over there.
Any other farms over that way?
Not on this side of the hills.
Yeah, there's a good chance he's still out there. I'll get my horse from the trailer and see if I can pick up his tracks. In the meantime, Sheriff, why don't you look around near the house?
Sure thing, Jace. I'll see you later. Now go along, Ranger. I know that hill country pretty good.
All right. Maybe you can identify that Mexican if we catch up to him.
He's got an awful big head start on us.
Yeah, but if he's still on foot, he won't get far. I took Charcoal out of the trailer while Gaynor got one of the horses from the corral. To save time, he didn't saddle up but rode bareback. We went to the spot in the woods where Gaynor had lost sight of the man. A short distance away, I picked up his tracks. They were fairly easy to follow, and for 20 minutes, we covered a good deal of ground. Then near the hills, the trail petered out.
Over here, Ranger.
We better spread out a little more. Hey, wait a minute. Ooh, Charlie.
Find something?
Yeah, here they are.
Oh, get up. Come here. I heard we
turned here. Tracks swing over that way.
Where? I don't see him.
Look right along there. See how that brush is trampled?
Oh, yeah. Sure got better eyes for tracking than I have.
Get up, Charkey. What's down this way?
The road. Swings around in a loop.
Looks like he was heading for it. Come on.
Get up, boy.
Unless somebody's giving him a lift. Maybe we can catch up to him.
There's the road over there, Ranger. You can see it through that break in the brush.
Yeah. And there's someone walking along that shoulder right now.
That's him. He's the one. Up, Charlie. Come on. He's running. Hold up, mister. Hey, you.
Go away.
Stop. Right there.
Stop.
Hold up, I said. Whoa, Charlie. Whoa.
This is him, all right. You lousy skunk.
What do you want from me, senor?
All right. Stand still while I frisk you.
Why you do this? What are you looking for?
Yeah, just checking to see if you're carrying any weapons. Are you the one working back there in that farmhouse?
No.
Don't lie to me.
I didn't do nothing.
What's your name?
Carlos Mendoza.
Let's see your wallet.
Here.
There's $40 in here. Where's the rest of it?
That's all I got.
Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
Where's Mr. Hines? What'd you do with him?
I didn't do nothing. He hired me. He go on vacation like I told you.
Lie. I'll make you talk.
No, hold it, Dan.
You tell him around, Ranger. I'll make him tell the truth.
You're not going to touch him, hear me?
He's going to lie. You're going to let him get away with killing Russ? I want to see justice.
We'll see justice done in the courts. Not the way you want to do it. All right, Mendoza. Let's get back to the house. We took Carlos Mendoza back to the farmhouse where we joined the sheriff. His deputies had arrived and were searching the area for Russell Hines. Mendoza continued to deny that he had killed or robbed anyone.
But you got to believe me. I wouldn't kill nobody.
What were you doing here?
I told you. Senor Hines, he give me a job to clean up the place and stay here while he go away.
You start this morning? What time?
Oh, yeah, about dawn.
You live around here?
No. I was coming through with my family. I got a trailer about 10 miles down the road. That's where Mr. Hines picked me up. He asked me if I want a job while he go away on vacation.
Now, Russ wouldn't have gone away with that telling me. I know he wouldn't.
All right, Gaynor. Just keep out of this, will you? Where were you coming from, Mendoza?
Eagle Pass, senor.
Where were you going?
To Waco. I got a cousin up there. He write me that he got a job for us in the cotton field.
You say Mr. Hines hired you. Did he bring you over here in his car?
Si. He bring me in his car and show me what to do. Feed the chickens and the stock and clean up the blood on the floor.
You sure that blood didn't get there when you killed Hines?
No, Sheriff, no. He said that he got a nosebleed and I am to clean it up.
You were just working here. Why were you trying so hard to keep Mr. Gaynor out of the house? So he couldn't see what you were doing?
No. Senor Hines told me to. He said, don't let nobody in the house while I'm gone. Nobody. He keeps saying that.
You claim Mr. Hines went on a vacation. How come his car is still here?
Some friend gonna pick him up and take him to the train. That's what he say, and then he walk out the door.
You gonna believe that, Ranger? How about that $40 in his wallet?
Yeah, where'd you get that? Did you take Mr. Hines' wallet?
No, I didn't take it.
Are you sure you didn't throw his wallet out in the field with the rest of the money in it so you could go out and pick it up later?
No, I didn't take nothing.
Where'd you get the $40?
Mr. Hines gave it to me. He gave me pay for 2 weeks.
Russ wouldn't have done that. He'd have give it to me to pay his hands off at the end of each week. I know, because I've done it before.
He did give it to me. He did, I tell you.
Sheriff, let's take Mr. Gaynor and this fellow down to your office and get their statements in writing.
Good idea, Jase. Come on, Mendoza.
You taking me to jail?
We sure are.
You take Mendoza in your car, Sheriff. I'll follow along with Mr. Gaynor.
Okay, Jase. Over here, Mendoza.
And, Sheriff, you better tell your deputies not to let anyone on the ground.
Yeah. Hey, Lambert, you hear that? No one's coming near the place.
This business take long, Ranger?
No, not too long. Here's my car. Get in.
Not that I mind, of course. Heck, I'd do anything to see if that guy gets what he deserves. My stock's got to be fed, and Russ's too. If I'm going to be in town all day, I've got to make arrangements for it.
I'll see you get back as soon as possible. Excuse me. Unit 10 to KTXA. Unit 10 to KTXA.
KTXA to Unit 10. Go ahead.
This unit requests lab crew be dispatched immediately to Hines Farmhouse on Farm Road 306, 17 miles north of Lenapa.
10-4. We'll relay your message to lab Unit 10.
10-4. No other traffic. Unit 10 clear.
No other traffic. KTXA, Austin.
What do you need a lab crew for when you got the guy?
They'll probably find a lot of things we missed. More evidence we get, the better.
Now, what's the matter?
I thought I saw something over there in the brush. Looks like a man.
A man?
Yeah, Yeah, looked like somebody got up out of the brush and fell back again. Just saw him for a second.
How far off was he?
Right around here, I think. There he is, behind that mesquite.
Hey, that's Rush. Holy cat. Look at the blood on his head.
Must have been left for dead. We better get him to a hospital, and fast.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
At this time of the year, we spend a lot of time out of doors, hiking and camping and on picnic trips in the woods and the mountains. That means more danger of forest fires. This summer, thousands of acres of valuable timberland will be destroyed because of carelessness. And in these days of defense emergency, our natural resources are more vital than ever. It's up to you to be sure that you do not cause the tragedy, the shameful waste brought about by a forest fire. Just follow a few simple rules. Crush out cigarettes, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break matches in two after using them. Drown all campfires, then stir and drown them again. Find out the law before using any kind of fire. Forest fires destroy timber, wildlife, and the water supply. They destroy the natural resources on which our nation depends. So don't be careless for a moment when you're in the mountains or woodlands. Forest fires are our most shameful waste. So remember, only you can prevent forest fires. Now, Act Two of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Cover Up.
Russell Hines had been beaten severely about the head and remained unconscious all the way into town. We got him to the local hospital where he underwent emergency treatment. I phoned the sheriff to come over. 2 hours later, Mr. Hines was conscious and able to talk to us. The sheriff, Lee Gaynor, and I walked down the corridor toward his room.
I'd sure like to know what that Mexican hit him with.
Doc says it was something round, like a piece of pipe.
When I get my hands on Mendoza, it'll take more than 34 stitches to sew up his head.
You better wait out here, Mr. Gaynor.
Yeah, but I want
to
see...
Let's not disturb Mr. Hines any more than we have to.
No. All right.
Go on, Sheriff. Mr. Hines?
Yeah?
We'd like to ask you some questions.
Yes, sir.
You feel better now?
Yeah, lots better.
Can you tell us what happened?
I don't think I can tell you very much.
Well, anything at all will help.
Well, I woke up and heard somebody over by the dresser. All I could see was a flashlight turning on me.
You couldn't see who it was?
No, sir. It was too dark. Besides, I don't see very good without my glasses. I guess he saw I was awake. He came toward me and wham! I got hit over the head. That's all I remember.
You know a fellow by the name of Carlos Mendoza?
Who?
Mendoza.
No, sir, never heard of him.
Well, he claims you hired him to take care of your place.
That's a lot of baloney. I don't have a hired man. Had one, but he had to leave last Tuesday.
Who was he?
A fellow by the name of Phillips. Howard Phillips.
You think he could have done it?
Well, I don't see how. He was too anxious to get off to work in the county rodeo over the 4th of July. He certainly wouldn't be coming back here.
What kind of a man was he?
He was pretty good. Seemed all right. Helped me break a horse.
Was he with you long?
No, just a couple of days.
And you don't know anything about this fellow Mendoza?
No, sir. If he says he works for me, he's crazy.
Well, thanks a lot. We better let you get some rest now. We'll talk to you some more later on.
Okay.
It looks like this Mendoza boy is going to have to come up with a better story. I mean, since Hines says he never heard of him, Mendoza must have been the one who attacked him.
Could be.
Well, does Rush know anything about this guy Mendoza?
No.
Huh, I told you. I told you that lousy cotton picker's just lying to save his own skin.
Sure looks that way. Everything's pointing to him.
Yeah, but just because Mr. Hines doesn't know him doesn't prove Mendoza attacked him.
What do you mean, Jase?
Well, something Mr. Hines said that hit me kind of funny, Sheriff. Mr. Gaynor, didn't you tell us it was after 8 when you walked in on Mendoza?
Well, yeah. What's that prove?
Mr. Hines says he was wakened by a flashlight in his eyes. This time of year, it's daylight by 5:30 in the morning.
What are you driving at, Jase?
Well, look, if Mendoza did attack Mr. Hines and drag him out into the brush, why would he come back to the house and still be there 3 or 4 hours later?
Maybe he got scared and come back to wipe up the blood.
It was Mr. Hines' blood. I wouldn't put the finger on Mendoza. Why wouldn't he just keep going?
I don't know, Jase. I may be wrong, but Mendoza's story just don't sound logical.
Well, maybe not. Okay, Mr. Gaynor. We'll take you down to the sheriff's office and get your statement.
Okay.
Mr. Gaynor, your friend tells us he had a hired hand by the name of Howard Phillips working for him a few days ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what this Phillips looks like?
Yeah. Tall and skinny, black curly hair. He has a heavy beard.
A big beard?
No, he shaves, but his beard's kind of dark, you know what I mean?
Go on, get in, Mr. Gaynor. You think he could have known about Mr. Hines carrying so much money?
Well, I imagine he could have. Did Russ think it was him?
He didn't seem to think so.
Well, I don't either. And I know for a fact he took off for the county rodeo at Harley on Tuesday. Russ drove him down to the bus depot himself.
You haven't seen him around since?
No, sir.
And it's probably Mendoza. After we got Lee Gaynor's statement, we had a deputy drive him home. We wanted to keep him and Carlos Mendoza as far apart as possible. As soon as he had left, the sheriff brought Mendoza down from the lockup so we could question him again.
In here, Mendoza.
Take this chair by the desk.
Gracias.
Mendoza, we found Mr. Hines.
Oh, you find him?
Yeah. And he says he didn't hire you.
Then he don't tell the truth.
He says he never heard of you, Mendoza.
Then he lies. He said to me to take care of the farm for 2 weeks. He even paid me. Rancher, he lies.
Why would he want to lie?
I don't know, but he hired me, I tell you. He take me there, he show me what to do, and I do it.
And he told you not to let anyone in?
Si.
Had you ever seen Mr. Hines before?
No, senor, never.
Doesn't it seem kind of funny that he'd ask you, a total stranger, to stay in his house and tell you to keep everyone else out?
But he needs somebody. He said that he go on vacation.
And you saw him leave?
Si, senor.
Then you're lying. He can't go anywhere without his glasses, and they were left on the dresser.
Glasses? But Senor Hines don't wear glasses.
The Mr. Hines we know does.
Hey, wait a minute. If Mr. Hines doesn't wear glasses, just what does he look like?
Senor Hines?
Yeah.
Well, he's a big man, about as big as you, but kind of bony. He got black hair.
Jeez.
Did he look like he needed a shave?
Sure.
You sure?
Oh, I'm positive, senor. Why you ask me this?
That sounds like Howard Phillips, Jase.
It sure does. Maybe when he thought he'd killed Hines, he put Mendoza in the house to take the rap.
Madre de Dios. Then it was not Senor Hines, huh?
I don't think it was, Carlos.
Then Phillips probably never did go to that rodeo.
He might have, and come back last night to steal the money. Could have gone back to the rodeo this morning and used it as an alibi. Let's go to that rodeo and find out. We released Mendoza with the understanding that he'd stay around town to identify Phillips in case he was our man. The county rodeo was being held at Harley, Texas. We got there too late for the afternoon performance. The sheriff and I questioned a couple of hands who suggested we look up a man named J.L. Major. He rented stock to the rodeos all over the state and was supposed to know everyone in the business. They described him as the biggest man with the biggest voice and the biggest cigar in all Texas. Said we could find him in town at the hotel.
There it is, Jase. Other side of the street.
Let's cross here. I hope this man Major can give us a lead.
Some description we got of this guy Major.
Should make him easy to spot.
Go ahead, Jase.
Thanks.
Looks like the rodeo crowd's taking over the whole lobby.
Yeah. I think I see Major.
Where?
Sitting on that leather couch, talking to those men.
Oh, yeah. That must be him. Pretty good description at that.
Yeah.
14 men working all day to fill the hole he made.
Pardon me.
That's mighty good, boy.
Are you Mr. Major?
Yeah, sure I am. What can I do for you?
I'm Ranger Pearson. This is Sheriff Buckley. Could we talk to you privately?
Why, sure. Boys, I'll see you later.
That's fine.
Got a good story about a hooly dancer I want to tell you about. Where did you want to talk?
Let's go over by the stairs.
All righty.
Hey, tell us, you know most of the rodeo people in Texas, Mr. Major.
Not most of them, Ranger. All of them. Been renting stock to rodeos for over 28 years. One of you boys got a match?
Yeah, I got some. Here you are.
Thank you, Sheriff. Yeah. You're looking for somebody?
Yeah, a man named Howard Phillips.
Howard Phillips. Phillips. Sure is a rodeo man.
Supposed to be working this one over the holidays.
What's he look like?
Tall, lanky. Usually looks like he needs a shave. Curly black hair.
Phillips. What's his line? Bulls? Cow milking? Bronx?
We don't know.
Can't think of any performers named Phillips. Hey, got another match.
Here you are.
Much obliged. Good cigar. Tall, lanky fella, you say.
That's right.
Yeah, recollect you know a Wiley Phillips got killed by Bramer. Couldn't be him. Let's see. Howard Phillips, black hair.
Yeah, curly.
Yeah. Maybe Mrs. Major knows him. Dolly? Hey, Dolly.
All right, Sheriff.
Come over here a minute. Mrs. Major's one of the best trick riders in the business. She'd know anybody I don't know.
Ready to go, honey?
Pretty soon, doll, honey. First, I want you to meet some friends of mine. Ranger Pearson and Sheriff Buckley.
Mm-hmm. Glad to meet you, ma'am.
Howdy.
Howdy, ma'am.
These fellas looking for a big lanky man, curly hair. What color did you say it was?
Black. His name is Howard Phillips, ma'am.
Howard Phillips?
Yes, ma'am. His face is dark, like he needs a shave.
Oh, sure. You know him, honey.
I do?
Yeah, Slim Phillips.
Slim Phillips?
Yeah.
The fellow that works the chute?
Sure, that's him. Nobody calls him Howard, though.
Why, sure. Tall fella. Curly hair.
Yeah, that's the
one. Of course,
one.
I knew him. Know everybody in the business.
You know where he is now?
No, but he'll be at the rodeo grounds for the evening performance.
We're heading there now. If y'all want to come along, I'll point him out to you.
Thanks, ma'am. We'd appreciate that. We're kind of anxious to meet him. The sheriff and I went out to the rodeo grounds with Mr. and Mrs. Major. Slim Phillips hadn't arrived yet. We stationed a few of the local police outside the grounds and took up positions in the arena by the chutes. Phillips was due to work. Mrs. Major had gone ahead to get her horse and was warming it up for the evening performance.
Look at that woman ride. Bet you never saw nothing like that before, Ranger.
Hey, your wife sure knows how to handle a horse.
Yeah, now watch this. And you go, Dolly. Perfect Russian drag, wasn't it?
It sure was.
It's a beautiful palomino she's got.
Yeah, picked it out myself. Awful good, Dolly. Awful good.
Mighty nice, ma'am.
Well, thank you, Ranger. Oh, by the way, I just saw Slim. Told him you wanted to see him.
You did what?
When?
Just now. I yelled to him over by the corral.
Come on, Sheriff.
What's the matter, Ranger?
But didn't I told him?
She's long on talent, but short on memory.
Down this way, Sheriff.
Yeah. You see him?
No. There, that must be him. Running through the corral.
Phillip, stop! Where'd he go?
He's in those pens somewhere. Sheriff, you circle around through the crowd and work this way through the pens. Maybe we can flush him out.
Where are you, be, Chase?
I'll stop from the runway and work toward you.
Okay. Watch yourself now, Chase.
Yeah.
Phillips! Stop, Phillips! He's heading for those bulls, Chase!
All right, Phillips. Stay right where you are.
Okay, Ranger. Okay.
You ain't gonna take me!
No!
Hold it, Phillip.
Let go of me.
I said hold it.
All right, Ranger. I've had enough. Don't hit me again. Don't hit me.
Get up.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, Sheriff. Now, hold out your hands, Phillips.
The framers are getting a little bit edgy, Chase. We better get him out of this pen.
Yeah. So he can walk right into another. Come on.
Thank you.
just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Today, there's a continuing lineup of great radio shows on this NBC station with a variety of entertainment features. Later this afternoon, Best Plays will present The Philadelphia Story, Philip Barry's highly successful comedy of manners. Starring in The Philadelphia Story on Best Plays will be Betty Furness, Joan Alexander, and Myron McCormick. In the music department this afternoon, you're invited to keep tuned for a full-hour concert from world-famed Hollywood Bowl. Today's concert will feature Dorothy Warren Scholl, Jan Pierce, and Igor Gorin. Another highly entertaining program today on NBC will be broadcast from Meredith Wilson's Music Room. Meredith will have lovely Esther Williams as his special guest, and I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing them talk about music, swimming, and anything else that happens to pop up in the course of their informal conversation. So for the finest in radio entertainment, be sure to keep tuned to the NBC Radio Network. And now the conclusion of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Howard Phillips was positively identified by Carlos Mendoza as the man who had hired him and impersonated Russell Hines. On September 9th, 1946, he was found guilty of burglary and assault with intent to commit murder. Phillips was sentenced to 15 years in the state penitentiary at Huntsville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. In the cast, you heard Tony Barrett as Carlos Mendoza. The role of Mr. Major was portrayed by Paul Frees, and Dolly Major was Betty Lou Gerson. The part of Lee Gaynor was played by Lamont Johnson. Leo Curley was the sheriff, and Lou Krugman was heard as Slim Phillips. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Betty Mears, and the program was produced and directed by State.
Thanks for joining us for Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae. This is your host and storyteller, John Hagedorn. This is 1001 Stories from the Old West. Reviews are always appreciated. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll be back soon.